listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. That means it is time for Historically Speaking with Dr. Daniel Harmelink. Good morning, Dr. Daniel Harmelink.
It's Thursday already.
It is Thursday.
Incredible.
Thanks be to God.
May.
It's May. It's Ascension Day.
A blessed Ascension Day to you.
Ascension Day, National Day of Prayer.
The feast day of Frederick, Elector Frederick the Wise. So we thank, we give a special prayer of thanksgiving for what God accomplished through Frederick the Wise. That was Luther's prince.
I was just going to ask our Reformation history, who is Frederick the Wise?
He's a pretty smart cookie.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, sorry. May 4th, right?
Yesterday.
Everyone knows it as Star Wars Day, right? But it was also the day that May 4th, 1521, 495 years ago, that Martin Luther was kidnapped. But the thing is, you know, he was kidnapped by friendly forces.
Did he know it at the time?
It was a friendly kidnap.
Do you think he knew it at the time?
I doubt it.
It was in the Thuringian Forest, right?
Yes. Don't ask me to spell that. But very few people knew about it. Frederick the Wise planned it, but he said, don't tell me any of the details. Because, again, he had to interface with the Roman Catholic, the authorities, and he didn't want any knowledge of it. So he said, take Luther to a safe place, but don't tell me where he is.
Have I shared with you how I taught kids this
no.
piece of history? We, my parish...
Did you use a screwdriver?
No, heavens no.
A balloon?
No. The saints at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bellmead, Waco, Texas, wonderful folks there, very generous, and we were working together on youth and family things, and we were trying to figure out how we could teach the history of the Reformation, and so we put together this really fun event for the whole family in the evening. It was a little medieval fair in the family center there. And it had several stations. One of them was the Thuringian Forest and the kidnapping in the Thuringian Forest, which was actually a small obstacle course in the dark. And you had to grab this potato sack that was made to look like a character, made to look like Martin Luther. Mm-hmm. You had to get this potato sack through the entire obstacle course in the dark without people stealing it from you. You had to rescue Martin and get him through the whole Thuringian forest without someone getting him from you. And so we explained the history and why he was kidnapped. But
great.
It was fun, too.
There are probably adults that still have bad dreams about
this
that.
This is true.
But so if you want to learn more about Luther, you know, holed up in the Wartburg as basically an outlaw, right? Anyone... The Roman Catholic Church said anyone who captures and, you know, does away with this guy is doing a good work. So if you want to know more about that, there's the special LutheranReformation.org website. There's a whole section called Faces of the Reformation, and there's a Bible study. There's a bulletin insert that pastors can put in the Sunday bulletin, and a one-page description of what happened to Luther, or Knight George, as he was called. He was undercover, you know?
Yeah.
They gave him a fake passport and everything. So, not really. Today I wanted to remind our listeners that the exhibit on the Lutheran mission work done in Papua New Guinea is coming to a close quicker than you think. So July 1st will be closing. So all of these paintings done by missionaries, the exhibits of idols, axes, different things from artifacts from the mission field, all of this will be going away. If you're not in the St. Louis area and you're not able to come to CHI on the campus of Concordia Seminary St. Louis, we also have a printed exhibit catalog that we would love to share with you. So give us a call. And again, it's amazing how many people know someone who worked on the Papua New Guinea mission field.
So this is all wrapping up by July 1st.
July
1st. So if you want to see this exhibit.
Right. We got to get ready for this year coming. It's 2017. Something big's happening. I haven't figured out what that is yet. But anyway, it's please come and see. There was more missionary personnel sent to Papua New Guinea from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod than any other mission field. So this deserves our attention. And wow. our prayers, too, that God would continue the work that
sure.
was begun in 1947.
We still have missionaries there.
Still have missionaries yeah. there. Still doing good work, gospel work there. Today I wanted to talk to you about the first graduate of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. It was a long time ago. And he's notable for a lot of different reasons. So let's begin this way. If someone asked you, Andy, what is your name? How would you respond?
Andrew. Do my whole name? Andrew Bates.
Your whole name?
Andrew Brady Bates.
Okay. So I looked this up, and it wasn't until the 1830s that this term middle name came about.
Really?
So if, you know, people have a family name, right? And then they have a first name or they have a Christian name mm-hmm. was the old thing, you know, the name given to you at your baptism. So at your baptism, the pastor probably said, Andrew Brady, mm-hmm. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this middle name thing is a fairly recent term. But the first graduate of the Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, he had... Not one middle name, not two middle names, but three. So he had basically four names and then his family name.
I noticed that too. For example, C.F.W. Walther.
C.F.W. Walther, right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you know the Martin Guitar Company, that was C.F.W. Martin. So having multiple, you know, names as your Christian name was not an uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder, well, now people don't even have a middle name. My father just had an initial, and when people asked him about that, he said we were too poor to afford a middle name. So that's not really true. But the first graduate, his name was Johann Andreas Friedrich Wilhelm Müller. So when you're writing about this guy, you know, like half the article on this guy that's coming up in the next Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly, half the article is just spelling out his name.
Mm-hmm. Now, around here, we pronounce that Miller. Many people pronounce that Miller. Yeah. Not all, but many do.
I've noticed that in Perry County, the pronunciation of last names is often different than it is here in St. Louis.
Really?
So if you go down and want to do genealogical work, sometimes it takes a while to, oh, okay, that guy. Or, oh, okay, that lady. So Müller, Miller.
And I'm guessing it comes from, it's a German name. It would technically be Müller.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if you knew German, that would
probably. But we Americanize it in Miller, right?
Exactly. So at an early age, Johann Andreas Friedrich Wilhelm Müller, right, was given the name ABC Müller or Miller. He was also called Alphabet Müller.
ABC Alphabet.
So just think going through, you know, as a kid, going through life being called Alphabet. But that's because his given name, his Christian name, was so long. And, you know, when he got in trouble, probably his parents did say, Johann Andreas Friedrich Wilhelm, come here. But, you know,
that gives him time to get there.
Get some time to hide, right? So he was born October 29th, 1825, in Saxony. His father was a brickmaker, and again, they were part of the group that saw more and more that their freedom, their religious freedom as Lutherans, was being squashed by this Prussian Union. So they, under Martin Stefan, were part of the group that came over by ship, went up the Mississippi, and then went from St. Louis to Perry County. So the father continued to, you know, bricklaying is an important vocation. So he continues that in Perry County. And they send J.A.F.W. to this new school that the Saxons, this log cabin that the Saxons had built. And the C.F.W. Walther is one of the instructors. So it's just incredible. In the first class, in the first students in this log cabin college, I'll read what they were teaching. These are 6 to 12-year-olds, right? They are teaching religion, Latin, Greek, Hebrew, German, French, English, history, geography, mathematics, physics, natural history, introduction to philosophy, music, and drawing.
I think if I would have started Greek at a younger age, I would have been more successful at it. I don't know about 6 to 12. Probably. That's a good time probably to start languages.
Right. Well, my wife and I, we had the same philosophy. So we sent our kids, every Saturday they went to Japanese school before they could know enough to complain about it. Right? So if you're learning Greek and Hebrew and Latin, okay, just everyone does that.
Sure.
You think. And then after that, the school kind of morphed into, they were also teaching for theological studies. So in addition to that, JAFW began to study biblical Greek, Hebrew, Latin, mathematics, psychology, logic. And also they thought, well, you know, we want a well-rounded pastor. So they were also instructed in singing, piano, English, French, church history, symbolic theology, dogmatics, and catechetics. So they spared no expense.
What is symbolic theology?
The symbols, just the doctrines.
Ah, okay.
Dogmatics, things like that.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So this was 8 years in this school, and then he was, you know, he passed his final exams, and then he was called to be a pastor. So his first call, and we saw this on call day this spring, that some lucky blokes get a call to two congregations.
Mm-hmm.
Or three.
Were there any tri-parishes? I didn't catch those this year.
I heard rumors that someone was called to four congregations, but
oh my,
that, you know, Lord
That's
have
daunting.
Mercy. Right. A JAFW was called to St. Paul Lutheran Church in De Pere, and also Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet, and was a pastor there until he took a call to another congregation. Right out of the starting gate, you know, he's challenged with being under-shepherd to many souls in the St. Louis area. He married, and they, God blessed the couple with 7 children. Unfortunately, the wife died 28 years later. Pastor Miller remarried again, had 4 more kids. Had parishes not only in St. Louis, but also Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Chicago, First Trinity Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, also in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, 4 small parishes, and then finally Chester, Illinois, from 1875 until God took him in 1900. So he lived to 1900 as a faithful shepherd of
wow.
God's people. Just an amazing history. And people said he wore black coattails, long black coattails, all year round.
I wonder if call day was similar then as it is to today, not knowing where you're going to go.
I don't think that they could vote on it. It wasn't a thumbs up or thumbs down. You just, you know,
yeah.
said amen and went. I think we have much more of a kind of a business mindset today. But I think JFW said, okay, and off he went.
We have just about a minute left for
sure.
this Thursday, May 5th, Ascension Day. JAFW Miller. Lots of, and what else? You said there was something else on this day?
It's the feast day of Frederick the Wise.
Frederick the Wise, that's right.
The guy that took the potatoes and ran through the forest with them.
No potatoes.
Like, but the next CHI quarterly is coming out in a couple weeks. If you're not a member of CHI, there's an article on Alphabet Mueller, and also there's a fantastic article on the Altenburg debate that we talked about previously. Just a lot of historical articles, fantastic. So they're not written for people that have a PhD in history. These are, you know, easy to read. There's plenty of photos and pictures of documents. Again, we'd love to get a sample into your hands. Give us a call, 314-505-7900. CHI, we'd love to put a quarterly in your hands.
Thanks, Dr. Armalink. Have a great weekend.
Blessings, Andy.